Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. Going to listen in now on the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee hearing on the status of the rural economy as South Dakota Senator John Thune had some questions for the panel.
We've got an ag economy that's in a very tough spot. A few months ago, the Wall Street Journal wrote of the next American farm bust. And I'd like to point out, too, just the role that biofuels has played in many of the states represented on this committee, a role that's even more important in today's ag economy. Secretary Perdue has spoken in the last several weeks regarding the importance of the RFS to the country and the administration's ongoing support of the policy, and we appreciate that support. In the coming months, there's going to be a clear opportunity for the administration to demonstrate that support with a strong proposed renewable volume obligation, or RVO, that's going to set blending targets for 2018. The 2017 RVO got the RFS back on track after years of challenges, and it's imperative that we maintain that progress. I appreciate the great group of witnesses that we have here today. I would like to just start with perhaps a general question, if you could answer it. Based on what you know about today's ag challenges, if you were a farmer that was growing a few commodity crops with a reasonable amount of debt, what would your strategy be to survive and sustain your operation for the next few years, assuming that the ag economy stays flat? Dr. Johansson.
Well, we've seen producers that have looked at expected prices and adjusted their planning accordingly, so I would imagine that producers are going to continue to do that. For example, we have seen a lot of wheat acres go out of production, and that's being replaced by corn and soybean acres in a lot of the states like your own, but also in some of the other plains states. I would imagine that going forward, as long as we have the wheat surplus we do right now in the world market, that that trend might continue. Certainly a strong, robust insurance portfolio is one that I think all producers would take advantage of. I think if you're producers are looking at continuing to tighten their belts. One area they may do that is through renegotiation of cash rent contracts. Another area might be to look at their insurance portfolio to see if they might be able to save some money by moving to an area coverage versus an individual coverage. That's obviously going to be less expensive. We haven't seen producers backing off on their ability to buy high-quality seed, so I imagine that they're going to continue to chase those yields going forward, and so I don't imagine that you'll see a significant change. Of course, our, Mr. Sheffer maybe will talk more about that. And I would imagine that securing farm loans, while it has been tightening, will still remain an important aspect of production going forward. Certainly, as you mentioned, we have seen a tightening situation. Land values have started to decline, but producers are still able to get loans at relatively low interest rates. So I imagine that we'll continue to see debt levels probably increasing in the short term, but at low interest rate or relatively low interest rates.
Would you agree that that one of the quickest and most effective ways to counter low commodity prices for crops and livestock is to increase exports?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And assuming, you know, right now we're talking about potentially with Mexico and Canada having a renegotiation of NAFTA. But if you add Mexico, China, and Canada, they're the most significant trading partners, accounting for about 46% of U.S. agricultural exports. The question, I guess, is there room to grow that, do you think, if with these three countries? And or should the U.S. be looking for export opportunities in other countries, and if so, which countries?
That's a great question. I think that there's still room for improving our access to NAFTA countries in terms of dairy, poultry, and eggs. Also, obviously, a robust, you mentioned biofuels, a robust E10 market in Mexico would be very beneficial to the ethanol sector. China is obviously our biggest trading partner, and there's still plenty of opportunities to improve our sales to China in terms of grains, feed grains, for example. I know that Japan's a very attractive market for our meat sector, so we're going to be actively pursuing agreements with Japan. And then looking forward, we certainly know that in the medium term, India is going to be a major market for ag commodities going forward. They're going to have a tripling of the number of households in the medium income class over the next 10 years. So I would imagine that We'll be putting some effort into trying to open up that market as well.
Any other countries, or with respect to the whole dynamic as it relates to exports and trade, where there might be market opportunities or additional headroom to grow with those we already have trading relationships?
But I would say,
Dr. Weber,
that in addition to the kinds of things that you've mentioned, if I were a farmer, which I'm not, I would want not just the kinds of programs you've talked about, but also the kinds of investments in the rural community which would allow my family to get off-farm jobs just to help me support our family during these rough times, and also allow us to live at a higher quality of life while we're there.
That was Dr. Bruce Weber, Director of Rural Studies Program at Oregon State University.